ज्ञानतिमरन्धस ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षूरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। गुरवे गौरचन्द्राय राधिकायै तदालये कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो नमः। यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपैतमपैतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकातरयाजुहाव पुत्रैति तन्मयतयातरवो विनेदुस्तं सर्वभूत हृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि। श्याम सुन्दर श्रीकान्त शेखर स्मरहास मुरली मनोहर राधिकर सिक मम कृप निधे स्वपीय चरण किंकरीं कुरु। भुक्त्या बिना अपराध लक्ष्य चिप्तश्च कामारितरङ्गमति कृपा मयि त्वं शरणं प्रपन्न वृन्दे नुमस्ते चरणारविन्दं वृन्दे नुमस्ते चरणारविन्दं। भजामि राधं अरविन्दनेत्रं स्मरामि राधं मधुरस्मितस्यं वहतामि राधं करुणाभराद्रं ततो ममन्यस्ति गति न कापि। त्वैवस्मि न जीवामि तया विना इति विज्ञाय देवी तं नय मां चरणान्तिकम्। फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई फॉर माई सत्संग दंडवत पुष्पांजलि माई हार्ट लाइक फ्लावर्स थाउजेंड्स ऑफ टाइम्स एट द लोटस फीट ऑफ अस्मदीय परम राधतम गुरु पाद पद्मा ओम विष्णु पाद अष्टोत्तर सत श्री श्रीमद रूपानुगचार्य वार्य भक्तिवेदांत नारायण गोस्वामी महाराज। Secondly, I offer my Sastang Dandavat Pranam thousands and thousands of times at the lotus feet of the Sri Rupanuga Gaudiya Guru Parampara. And thirdly, I offer my Pranam to all the assembled Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who have assembled in various places around the world to participate in Harinam Sankirtan, in hearing Harikatha, in this virtual Namahata of Sri Krishna Katha TV. So, just recently, during the bright fortnight of the month of Paush, on the Tritiya day, the great personality, Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, became unmanifest from this physical world. Today, in honor of Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, we will offer the Pushpanjali of our glorification at his lotus feet. So, Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, he was born in the village of Ramkeli. Actually, just as Sri Krishna has mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Dibyam, Sri Krishna said, my appearance and my activities are all transcendental. Actually, Ajopi San Avyayatma, I am unborn. So in the same way, as Sri Krishna is transcendental, he is really unborn. In the same way, the pure Vaishnavas, they are not born like ordinary conditioned souls, but they appear in this world. So Srila Jiva Goswami Pad appeared in this world in the year 1511, which is the year after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left Sri Navadvip Dham. So, the father of Srila Jiva Goswami, his name was Vallabha Malik, and he was the youngest of three brothers. Vallabha Malik's eldest brother was came to be known as Sri Sanatan Goswami, and his other elder brother was came to be known as Srila Rupa Goswami Pad. So all were very great Vaishnavas. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being in Jagannath Puri, decided to go to Vrindavan, on the way there he came to the village of Ramkeli. And at that time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was surrounded by thousands of people who, upon seeing him, had become overwhelmed with ecstatic love and were doing kirtan and following him wherever he went. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, at that time, Sanatan Goswami, he was Sakara Malik, the prime minister of the king. And Srila Rupa Goswami, he was known as Dhabir Kas, the private secretary of King Nawab Hussein Shah. And it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who gave them the names Sanatan and Rupa. And to Jiva's father, Vallabha Malik, he gave the name Anupam. Anupam means, it is a name for Sri Krishna, it means incomparable, no comparison to him. So, at that time, Srila Jiva was a small boy, and his father Anupam came and kept his head at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, when the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Ramkeli, he actually decided not to go to Vrindavan because he was being followed by too many people. So, this journey to Vrindavan was not successful, but yet his journey was successful because he met with Srila Rupa Goswami and Sri Sanatan Goswami Pad. So all three brothers, Rupa, Sanatan and Anupam, after seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became very anxious to renounce all their activities in the world, especially the government service of the king Nawab Hussain Shah. So, actually, Srila Rupa Goswami and Anupam, they left. Very quickly, they left their homes and set out. And together, they had the opportunity to meet with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prayag. So, when Srila Rupa Goswami left his home, because he was the personal secretary of the king, he actually had a vast amount of money. So, half of his money he distributed to Vaishnav Brahmanas. And a quarter of his money he kept with the family of Jiva Goswami to pay for the education of this boy. And one quarter of the money he kept with a merchant. And this money was later used by Srila Sanatan Goswami, who had been imprisoned by the king Nawab Hussain Shah. He used it to bribe the jailer to get out and escape. So while Srila Rupa Goswami Pad was traveling with Anupam, the father of Jiva Goswami, Anupam became ill and he passed away. So it was an act of great foresight on the part of Srila Rupa Goswami that he had kept a quarter of his entire wealth to take care of the education of Jiva. So when Jiva was a small boy, he had no interest in playing material games. He used to play with his friends, but only games that were about Krishna, enacting the pastimes of Sri Krishna. The boy, he made with his own hands some deities of Krishna and Balaram. And he used to do puja of them with the flowers and with chandan, with sandalwood paste, and he used to dress and decorate them. In the Sri Bhakti Ratnakar of Narahari Chakravarti, there it's described that when Jiva was a little boy, he used to sit down before his deities and he would stare at them with unblinking eyes. And he was such a handsome boy that when he was staring and completely stunned, unmoving, having darshan of his deities, he himself looked like he was a golden doll. Mm-hmm. And when, after staring for a long time at his deities, the boy used to pay obeisances, and his eyes would fill with tears. And he used to offer sweets to his Krishna Balaram deities, and then he would go and he would distribute the sweets to his friend. Mm-hmm. So, when he was at school, he was a brilliant student, and he quickly mastered all the studies of Sanskrit grammar, and then all the studies of poetics. So, after his father and uncles had left, even though this little boy, he was from a wealthy family like a prince, he completely stopped wearing very nice clothing, and he stopped wearing jeweled ornaments. He would no longer sleep on a comfortable bed. And obviously his family were very much involved on a high level with the government and politics. But when he heard any political things, it was painful for him. He couldn't bear to hear it anymore. At that time, one night, in a dream, he had a vision of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he saw Satchinandan Gohari, his beautiful golden form, dancing, very beautifully decorated, doing Nam Sankirtanam in the association of his eternal Parikars. Upon seeing this vision, the young Jiva became overwhelmed with divine love, and he could not stay in his home any longer. So, making some excuse, he left home. He would be in his early 20s at this time. And where did he go? Directly from his home, at that time in Chandradweep, he left for Navadweep Dham. So, as you know, the residents of Navadweep all are drowning in the ocean of separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just as when Sri Krishna left Vrindavan, all the residents of Vrindavan were weeping in separation from Sri Krishna. So the residents of Navadvipa were in the same condition, weeping in separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And sometimes they would become lost in Bhav, and the residents of Navadvipa would not know whether they were lamenting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left Navadvipa or whether they were lamenting that Sri Krishna had left Vrindavan. In the evening time, Sachi Mata, she used to walk out into the street, and she would say to the other ladies, "Oh, mother of Subal, oh, mother of Sri Dham, has your boy returned home from grazing? My boy has not returned." So when Srila Jiva Goswami arrived in Navadvipa, it was a very pathetic scene. The young Jiva himself was feeling so much separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is why he left from his home. But when he arrived in Navadvipa, oh, how the Navadvipa Vasis were also immersed in the Viraha Bhav. So, Jiva, when he arrived in Navadvipa, he went to the house of Srivast Thakur. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu was there. Nityananda Prabhu, who is Supreme Lord Balaram himself, when he saw Jiva, he had so much fatherly, parental affection for him. And when Sri Jiva gave pranam to him, Nityananda Prabhu mercifully touched his head with his lotus feet. And Sri Jiva Goswami became overwhelmed in ecstasy. Then Nityananda Prabhu picked him up from the ground and very tightly embraced him. And when he was embracing him, Nityananda said, "Oh, I rushed here all the way from Kardaha." He was staying in Kardaha at that time. So he said, "I rushed here all the way from Kardaha just to meet with you." Mm-hmm. And in this way, in Nityananda Prabhu, he said so many loving words to Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami's heart was melting. And Nityananda Prabhu, he induced Srivas Thakur, though they did not require much inducing, but Srivas Thakur and other associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to shower their ashirvad, their blessings on the young Jiva. Nityananda Prabhu very mercifully took Jiva Goswami on the first Navadvip Dham Parikrama. And that pastime has been described in some detail by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. So, when we do Navadvip Dham Parikrama with Srila Gurudev, we become absorbed in how Nityananda Prabhu, he took Jiva Goswami around Navadvip Dham by, in each place of the Parikrama, we read the adventures of Nityananda Prabhu and Jiva Goswami in each place. Srila Gurudev, who is the manifestation of Nityananda Prabhu, every year he takes so many Jivas, that means us, on the Navadvip Dham Parikrama. After completing the Parikrama, Srila Jiva Goswami, he begged Sri Nityananda Prabhu, "Oh please, keep me at your lotus feet forever." But Nityananda Prabhu said, "No, you cannot stay here with me. Quickly now, you should leave Navadvip Dham and you should go to Brajamandal. Oh, that is the place that the Lord has given to your family. You should go to Braja and there be under the guidance of your uncles Rupa and Sanatan. But on the way there, you should go by Kashi, that is Varanasi. And there, you should study the philosophy, especially Vedanta, from Sri Madhusudan Vachaspati." This was very significant, because Srila Rupa Goswami, he was later to write so many wonderful scriptures. And in those scriptures, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad would write, "Ado Sraddha, in the beginning there is faith." And he described how that faith grows through so many stages, such as Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti and so on, up to Prem. Srila Rupa Goswami Pad was writing for the Surid. That means those who are soft-hearted, like-minded, and who have faith in Sri Krishna. For them, he has explained all about the path of bhakti. But what about those who have no belief in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings? What about those who may try to disprove what Srila Rupa Goswami Pad wrote by so many philosophical arguments? And also, so many innocent people who they would be ready to accept the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they already have faith in the Vedas, in Vedanta and Upanishads. And so they need to understand how the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the highest pinnacle of the evolution of all the premises given in the Vedas and Upanishads. And also, the devotees, before the stage of Ruchi, their minds are not steady. Before the stage of Nishta and Ruchi, then faith is called Komala Shraddha, soft or pliable faith. So, they will have to study and hear the Siddhanta, philosophical conclusions, very carefully, and it will give strength and support to their devotional practices. For all of them, and for all of these reasons, it was the destiny of Srila Jiva Goswami to compose the scriptures that explain all the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the basis of Veda, Vedanta, Upanishad, and especially the mature fruit of all the Vedic literatures, Srimad Bhagavatam. And also, within his writings on Siddhanta, Srila Jiva Goswami has expressed many rasic things as well, many mysteries for the inspiration of devotees who are deeply absorbed in bhajan. Also, it is helpful if a devotee knows some Sanskrit. It's not essential, but it can be helpful. But learning Sanskrit is quite difficult, very dry, like a desert. So, Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, he also composed Sri Harinamamrita Vyakaranam, which explains all the rules of Sanskrit grammar through the description of the Harinam, the holy names, and the pastimes and qualities of Sri Krishna and his various incarnations. So that the study of Sanskrit grammar, instead of being dry like a desert, will actually be full of the nectar of Harinam. Through Srila Jiva Goswami, actually we receive so many teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Perhaps you know that after Nimai Pandit returned from Gaya, returned from being initiated by Srila Ishwara Puripad, when he returned to Navadvip, he was not only Nimai Pandit, now he was Rasik Nimai, Bhavuk Nimai. And he was so overwhelmed with love for Krishna, Nimai Pandit was no longer able to teach logic and grammar as he had been doing before his departure for Gaya. Mm-hmm. He began to explain the grammar to his students, how all the letters and of the alphabet, all the rules of grammar, they all describe only Krishna. So we know that this is one pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it has been described in the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. But exactly what Nimai Pandit taught the students, the details, it was not written anywhere. What Srila Jiva Goswami has written in Harinamamrita Vyakaranam, these are the teachings that Nimai Pandit gave to his Sanskrit students. So, there's another way in which Srila Jiva Goswami has revealed to the world the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because bear in mind that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not write down any of his teachings. There are only eight individual verses that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught to his followers, and these are known now as Sri Sikshastakam. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tried to explain to Mahaprabhu the real meaning of Vedanta. In Gita, Sri Krishna said, Vedaischa sarvar aham eva vedyo Vedanta krit veda videva chaham. I am the compiler of the Vedanta. So that very Krishna has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's trying to teach the author of Vedanta the meaning of Vedanta. So in this very beautiful pastime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed mercy on Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and completely removed the dense darkness of impersonalism. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya the real meaning of the sutras of Vedanta. In detail, what Mahaprabhu said has not been described anywhere. The general ideas have been given in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, but the actual explanation of sutra by sutra has not been given there. What Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya taught to his very near and dear disciple, Madhusudan Vidyavachaspati. Then, that Madhusudan Vachaspati, he left Puri and he went to Kashi Banaras. So Nityananda Prabhu told the young Jiva to go to Vrindavan, but on the way, go to Varanasi, and there you study from Madhusudan Vachaspati. And so Sri Jiva, he went to Varanasi and he learned from Madhusudan Vachaspati what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taught to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya about Vedanta, so that the innocent people who have faith in Vedanta would come to understand how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is the topmost culmination of all the Vedas. Especially, Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, he has composed the what is called Bhagavat Sandarbha. The Bhagavat Sandarbha is also known as Sat Sandarbha. It means six philosophical treatises that are based on the Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with the Tattva Sandarbha, in which Srila Jiva Goswami Pad establishes that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost scriptural evidence. This is the first, and then the next one is called the Bhagavat Sandarbha, and it describes the various positions of different incarnations. So all the Sandarbhas are called Bhagavat Sandarbha with long A, first A is long, and within them the second Sandarbha is called Bhagavat Sandarbha. The next Sandarbha is called Paramatma Sandarbha, which describes the especially the Paramatma Tattva. Then the fourth one is called Krishna Sandarbha. So in these first four treatises, Jiva Goswami has very elaborately described the Sambandha Gyan, knowledge of relationship between the Supreme Lord and His energies, incarnations, and so on. And it was actually in a commentary, Jiva Goswami wrote again another commentary on these first four Sandarbhas called Sarva Sambhadini. And in this commentary, Srila Jiva Goswami was the first person in writing to define the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the phrase Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. That is the philosophy of the inconceivable difference and also non-difference of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna from all of His energies. Four Sandarbhas describe Sambandha Gyan. In the fifth Sandarbha, he describes Abhideya Tattva, that means the principle of the process of spiritual life, and that is called the Bhakti Sandarbha. And in the last of the six Sandarbhas, called Priti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami explained the Prayojan Tattva. The Prayojan is Prem, the perfect divine love of the eternal associates of Radha and Krishna. Mm. So, we are discussing how Srila Jiva Goswami, he studied the Vedanta teachings of Mahaprabhu in Banaras. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, he did not write an elaborate sutra by sutra commentary on all the sutras of Vedanta, but on the main, most important sutras, he has commented at the end of his Paramatma Sandarbha. And there he has established, he has shown how Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect and natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra because it is written by the same author. The author of Vedanta is Vyas, and he is also author of Bhagavatam. And that many of the sutras and concepts within Vedanta are elaborately expanded upon in Srimad Bhagavatam. And especially, he has shown how the first five sutras of Vedanta have been very nicely explained in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And also how the Gayatri Mantras have been explained in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And also how the four seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chatusloki Bhagavatam, have been explained in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the explanation of the first five sutras of Vedanta. If a person knows the sutras of Vedanta and the first verse of Bhagavatam and the Chatusloki Bhagavatam, then such a person will become very surprised and astonished to hear the relationship between all these texts as expressed by Srila Jiva Goswami Pad. In the Garuda Purana, there is stated, Arto yam brahma sutanam bharatata vinirnayo gayatri basarupaso vedata paribrahmita. It means, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains the meaning of Vedanta Sutra, the essence of the Mahabharata, the meaning of the Gayatri Mantra and of all the Vedas. But no one had proven that statement very elaborately before. This subject matter is very vast, so it cannot be explained in one day or even in 3 to 4 days. But as we are discussing the glories of Srila Jiva Goswami, just a few ideas I will tell today. The first sutra of Vedanta is Atato Brahma Jigyasa. It means Ataha. Ata means now. Ataha means therefore. So Atato, now therefore, Brahma Jigyasa. One should inquire. Jigyasa, about Brahma. Jigyasa implies one should have the desire, a strong desire, to know Brahma, the Supreme Truth. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad explained that this sutra is discussed in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam by the last words of the verse, Satyam Param Dhimahi. Dhimahi means, you know what Dhimahi means, because it's in all of your Gayatri Mantras. It means, oh, we meditate. Mm-hmm. And Satyam means truth, and Param means the highest. So, Satyam Param Dhimahi, we meditate on the highest truth. So, this is the explanation of the first Sutra of Vedanta, the Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now, therefore, one should desire to know, or one should inquire about Brahma. How is Satyam Param Dhimahi the commentary on the first sutra? Atato means now, therefore. Vedanta is the sixth of the six classical philosophical systems. The previous philosophy, that is called the Purva Mimamsa, that is Karmakanda. So it's understood that you are studying Vedanta now because you have studied the previous philosophies, including the Purva Mimamsa. So, if you have studied the Karmakanda very carefully, you will understand the nature of this world. Anything that we do in this life is temporary. It has no permanent result. Everything just vanishes, evaporates and disappears like a dream. Yet, those temporary activities also have their consequences for the next life. So, if one will even do the best karmas, follow the highest activities of religiosity described in the Vedas, then in one's next life one can go to Swargalok, the heavenly planets. But there, after enjoying for a relative to this life, a long period of time, still the fruit of karma will be exhausted and again one will have to fall down. Hear the word Atta, now therefore, means, oh, now you are beginning to study the Vedanta because you have understood that everything else that you do in this world is completely temporary, and even the heavenly planets, one's residence there, and the planets themselves, they're all temporary. Therefore, Atato, now therefore, inquire about the truth. Oh, that is explained, Satyam Param Dhimahi. I meditate on the Satyam, that which is eternal, which is not temporary, which is never lost. Oh, do you understand? One has to fix the goal of his life. Where is the goal of all your activities? If the goal of your activities is anywhere within the material universes, then that activity is a waste of time. Therefore, one's energy, one's time, one's activities should be utilized for trying to find the Satyam, that which is eternal and forever, and which will never be lost. So, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, one should inquire about Brahma, the greatest. The Brahma means the greatest. Srimad Bhagavatam in the first verse describes that is Param, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the greatest. So, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, one should desire to know that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because, everything else is a waste of time. Jigyasa means one should desire to know. What does that mean? That means one's heart should be hankering. Oh Krishna, where are you, where are you? So that jigyasa, that method of inquiry is explained in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Satyam param dhimahi. How do we inquire? How do we try to find Krishna? Dhimahi, we meditate on Sri Krishna. That means always thinking of Krishna's form, qualities and pastimes. Satyam param dhimahi. And that meditation comes from the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Kirtanya Sada Hare. So, Srila Jiva Goswami Pad made a very wonderful point about Dhimahi. We meditate. And it explains the word of the first sutra, Jigyasa, desiring to know. One should desire to know. And Dhimahi, this word is found in all the Gayatri mantras. And of course in the Brahma Gayatri mantra, which is the mother of all the Vedas. So, wonderful point. Here is Dhimahi means we meditate. So the word we is in the plural, Bahuvachanam. So therefore, Dhimahi means may we meditate, we meditate. That means all of the devotees, thousands and millions of unlimited devotees throughout the world, throughout all the planets in the universe, throughout all the universes, and in the material and in the spiritual world, all the devotees, Dhimahi, they all become absorbed in remembering Sri Krishna. So, the Mayavad philosophy, the Advaitavad philosophy of Shankaracharya, cannot be the correct explanation of Veda or Vedanta. Because, according to Advaita Vedanta, there are not many jivas. Everything is one. So Dhimahi means we meditate, means there are many of us. So we are not all one, we are all individual part and parcels and eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. So Atato Brahma Jigyasa is explained in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam as Satyam Param Dhimahi. The second sutra is Janmadyasya Yataha. That Supreme Truth, this is second sutra of Vedanta, Supreme Truth is He from whom the creation, maintenance and destruction of the universe has come. It means that this world is not an illusion. The world is real because it has been manifested by the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Truth, Satyam Param. Because ourselves and all of this world, everything is the effect of the Supreme Lord, then the effect has no power to discover its own cause. So, in the next sutra, there it is stated, Shastra Yonitvat. It means that the Shastra, it comes from the Brahma, Supreme Lord. So this sutra is explained in the second line of the first verse, Tene Brahma Ridaya Adi. Tene Brahma means that Supreme Lord, He imparted the Vedas into the heart of Lord Brahma. Because the Sri Krishna is the cause of everything. He is Abhigya and Swarat. He knows everything and He is the only one who completely knows everything and He is completely independent. So one can know what is true only when that all-knowing and completely independent person imparts that truth unto you. Then you can know, otherwise you cannot know. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam in the second line says, Tene Brahma, the Supreme Lord imparted the Vedas into the heart of Brahma. And this explains the third sutra of Vedanta, Shastra Yonitvat, which means, it can mean, if you want to know the truth, the source of knowledge on the truth is the Shastra. And simultaneously, the same sutra also means, Shastra Yonitvat, that the Supreme Lord is the Yoni or the source of the Shastra itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because only, as Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, I know all the worlds, all the living entities, all the devatas, but me, no one knows. I know everything that happened in the past, in the present, and in the future, but me, no one. So if someone is to know something about Sri Krishna, he has to reveal it. And he imparts knowledge about himself into the heart of Lord Brahma, and this has become the Vedas. The next sutra of Vedanta says, Tattu Samandvayat, means only Supreme Lord has the complete knowledge. So that is described at the end of the second line of the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Muyanti Yat Surayaha. That means, in understanding Sri Krishna, or in understanding the Vedic teachings, Muyanti Yat Surayaha. Even the Sura, the great demigods, or even great devotees, they are Muyanti, they are bewildered. Muyanti Yat Surayaha. Generally it's described that even the demigods are bewildered in understanding. But Srila Jiva Goswami said, no, not only demigods, even Ananta Dev himself, the Supreme Lord's own expansion, even he is bewildered in understanding the mysteries of Sri Krishna. So then in the next sutra it is stated, Ikshate Na Shabdat, means he who sees is not beyond description by words. This is very significant. One may say, the impersonal Brahman or Pradhan, the unmanifested material energy, they are the cause of everything. But Vedanta said, no. Why? Ikshate na shabdat. He who sees. It means that the Supreme Truth can see. And many Upanishads also support this. Sa Aikshata means that the Supreme Lord created the world just by His glance. So by association, it's understood that if the Supreme Lord can see, then He has eyes. And if He has eyes, He has all other senses also. He has ears, He has nose, He has tongue, skin, everything. So even though the Supreme Lord is unlimited, He is independent, and He is beyond being fully known by anyone, still He is not indescribable, because we can say He has eyes, He has ears, He can speak, He can smell, He has a very beautiful, attractive, transcendental form. So this is explained in the last line of the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Damna Svena Sada Nirasta Kukam Satyam Param Dimahi. Svena means He is situated in His own a beautiful transcendental form. Dham can also mean the beautiful abode. Svena means situated in His own beautiful form. Mm-hmm. Dham can also mean His spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Gayatri Mantra also says, Savitur Varenyam. Varenyam means the best. The best spiritual abode. In this way, the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutra, the Gayatri Mantra, all are being explained in detail by Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Srila Jiva Goswami, he was not only a great philosopher, but he was also very rasic, because he, having made a very strong and firm foundation for everyone to approach Sri Krishna, he elaborately commented on Srimad Bhagavatam in many, many different commentaries. He commented just on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the sweet pastimes of Krishna, in his Kram Sandarbha. Also in his commentary, Lagu Vaishnav Toshini. And also explained the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in his Sri Gopal Champu. In this way, Srila Jiva Goswami, but again and again, he could not stop commenting on the pastimes of Krishna as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh, he has written a book called Sankalpa Kalpa Vriksha. There again he goes over all the pastimes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. In Bhagavad Gita, the Sri Arjuna, he told Sri Krishna, Shrinvato Nasti Memritam. Hey Krishna, please describe to me again your glories, because I never feel the cessation of thirst. I'm never satiated by hearing this nectar. So in the same way, Srila Jiva Goswami Pad was never satiated by glorifying Sri Krishna and glorifying his literary incarnation, Srimad Bhagavatam. After Jiva Goswami completed his studies in Banaras, he went to Brajamandal. And there, Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, he received Diksha from Srila Rupa Goswami. He was the one and only Diksha disciple of Srila Rupa Goswami Pad. And Srila Jiva Goswami Pad himself, he did not have any formal Diksha disciples. Though he never initiated anyone, the whole world became his disciple now. When devotees used to approach him, "Oh, Jiva Goswami Pad, please accept me as your disciple." He used to say, "Oh, why me? There are so many qualified Vaishnavas from whom you can receive Diksha." When Srila Narottam Das Thakur came to him, he told him, "Oh, you go to that great personality, Lokanath Das Goswami." When Srinivas Acharya came to him for initiation, he said, "Oh, you know, Gopal Bhatta Goswami is very qualified. Take initiation from him." But after taking initiation from others, still, all came to him as a Shiksha Guru. Narottam, Srinivas and Shamananda, especially his three main Shiksha disciples. So, he did not give Diksha to anyone. But those who took Shiksha from him, they gave Diksha to thousands and thousands of living entities and delivered them from this world. And all respected Srila Jiva Goswami as their Param Gurudev in the Bhagavat Parampara. Mm-hmm. So, perhaps you know that when Srila Jiva Goswami Pad was living in Vrindavan, after being initiated by Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, he would serve Srila Rupa Goswami every day. And they used to stay in the place which is now the compound of the Radha Damodara temple in Vrindavan. At that time, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad was writing his Bhaktira Samrita Sindhu. And on the pretext of having Jiva Goswami edit and proofread his work, Rupa Goswami was giving nourishing nectar to Jiva Goswami. So once, one great Acharya, that is Sri Vallabhacharya, he came to Braja and spent some time with Srila Rupa Goswami. Mm-hmm. And Sri Vallabhacharya, seeing that Rupa Goswami was writing something, he asked him, "Can I see what you are writing?" Srila Rupa Goswami was very humble. He said, "Yes, of course." So Sri Vallabhacharya, he looked and he said to Rupa Goswami, "Oh, may I do some editing and so on? Give some suggestions?" Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, he said very politely, "Of course, it would be my honor if you could correct my work." So, when Sri Vallabhacharya was leaving the Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami, so then the young Jiva Goswami, he picked up a clay pot and to make it look as if he were going to collect some water from the river. But he followed after Vallabhacharya and he asked him, "Oh, have you seen some mistake in the writings of my Guru Pad Padma?" And Sri Vallabhacharya said, "Yes. Sri Rupa has written, Mukti Bhukti Spriha Yavat Pisachi Vridi Vartate. He has said that the desire for sense enjoyment and this mukti is like a witch. But there are many transcendentalists who they have attempted for thousands of years, they are great personalities to attain mukti, and here mukti is being described as a witch." And he gave other suggestions also. But the young Jiva Goswami, he told him, "What my Gurudev has written is all perfect and correct. My Gurudev did not criticize Mukti Devi, the goddess of liberation, and call her a witch. He said, Mukti Spriha, the desire for liberation, is like a witch. Why? Because If someone is doing the activities of bhakti, devotional service, but they have in their heart the desire for liberation, then the benefits of the devotional service are not manifest. They are stolen away. Just like a person who is haunted by a witch or by a ghost. If they will eat, they don't put on weight because all the strength is taken away by that witch or that ghost. So if one is practicing bhakti for the fulfillment of material desires or to get liberation, then the power, the nourishment of bhakti will not be experienced by that person. So the young jiva and the Balabhacharya, they had a long discussion. When they came back to the bhajan kutir of Srila Rupa Goswami, Balabhacharya was full of praise for jiva. He said, "Oh, your disciple, this young jiva, he's a very learned and intelligent person." So hearing this, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad became very grave. And he could understand that Srila Jiva Goswami had tried to correct the Sri Vallabhacharya. Rupa Goswami, in front of Vallabhacharya, he told his disciple, "You should leave Braja. Go back to your home. And don't come back until your mind is under control. One whose mind is not under control is not qualified to live in this Vrindavan. Or any person who takes pleasure in the humiliation of others, or who tries to establish their own self-worth, they're not qualified to be here. So leave Braja and return to your home." So Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, he did not want to support Jiva, who was quite junior, going to the very senior Vaishnava and correcting him. And if anyone disrespects someone and you don't say anything, that means that you are supporting that disrespect. Maunam sammati lakshanam, silence is the symptom of agreement. Srila Rupa Goswami Pad wanted to show the whole world that one should respect the senior Vaishnavas. At the same time, what Srila Jiva Goswami Pad did was correct, because a disciple should not tolerate any criticism of his Gurudev and should try to always uphold the dignity of his Gurudev and Guru Parampara. Srila Rupa Goswami Pad was not wrong, and also Srila Jiva Goswami Pad was not wrong. So then Jiva Goswami Pad, he went to the very edge of Braj Mandal, to a place on the bank of Jamuna called Nandaghat. And there was a hole that used to be the home of a crocodile. And he lived in that hole. And he was just chanting and weeping and not sleeping and not eating and always remembering the lotus feet of his Gurudev. And by the mercy of the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, a flood, ocean of realizations of the pastimes of Krishna was coming in the heart of Jiva Goswami. So some local villagers, they saw this young sadhu doing extremely severe tapasya, and they were astonished. Srila Sanatan Goswami Pad used to wander all around Braj Mandal doing parikrama, and he used to talk with the villagers. The villagers used to call him Bara Baba, the big Baba. Oh, when I was living in the Braj Mandal, and I used to cross the Jamuna River, and then the boatmen, they used to ask me, "Oh, how is Bara Baba?" Now, the Brijbasis, they use this name for my Gurudev, Sri Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. So one villager saw Sanatana Goswami Pad and he gave pranam to him. He said, "Oh, Bara Baba, I thought that you were very so renowned, so detached, and doing such intense bhajan. But now I have seen one Chota Baba, and he is so austere, so renounced. In my life, I never saw anything like this." Srila Sanatana Goswami said, "Where can you introduce me to this Baba, Chota Baba?" So then that villager said, "Oh, he's there in one crocodile hole at Nandaghat." So then Bara Baba, he went and he saw the Chota Baba was there. And he was very lean and thin. And he'd become sick from so many austerities. And he had some disease on his skin also. And seeing the very pitiful condition of the young jiva, then the Sanatana Goswami decided to intervene on his behalf. So he went to Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, and Srila Rupa Goswami was telling Harikatha and others were listening. Afterwards, Sanatana Goswami, he said to Rupa Goswami, because he is the elder brother and also guru, and also in the Krishna Leela, Labanga Manjari, the elder sister of Rupa Manjari. So Sanatana Goswami said, oh, you are giving a very learned discourse about the teachings of our Prabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But I think that you have forgotten his teachings. And Srila Rupa Goswami Pad said, oh, what a teaching have I forgotten? Please correct me. Sanatana Goswami said, you should think about it carefully. So Rupa Goswami thought, Mapu taught us Namaruchi, one should have taste in the name. Then he said, he taught us Jiva Doya, we have to have mercy to the Jivas, to the living entities. Sanatana Goswami said, yes, you have forgotten Jiva Doya, mercy to Jiva. Then Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, by the inspiration of his Gurudev, he thought, oh, I should accept him back. So Sanatana Goswami Pad, he personally brought Jiva, who was very sick, back to the Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami. And Srila Rupa Goswami saw the condition of his very dear disciple, and his heart melted and he began to weep. And Rupa Goswami personally served the Jiva Goswami and nursed him back to health, bringing him water and medicine and gradually introducing food to bring him back. So this pastime has a very deep teaching. Actually, Jiva Goswami Pad made no fault in his behavior. So it seems quite cruel that Rupa Goswami Pad rejected him. But actually, by putting him in separation, he caused the manifestation of so much realization in his heart. So he was giving mercy, not cruelty. And by this pastime, both Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami gave a very important teaching to the whole world. Perhaps you know, when Uddhav came to Vrindavan and met with the Braja Gopis, they asked Uddhav, how could our loving relationship with Krishna be broken? There is two types of love, sahetu prem and ahetu prem. Love that has a cause and love that has no cause. So the examples of sahetu prem, love with a cause, are the example of the love that a bumblebee has for a flower. When the flower has run, the bumblebee loves the flower because it has honey. But when the flower runs out of honey, then the bumblebee never comes back to that flower again. Relation broken. Oh, prostitute loves a client as long as he has money in his pocket. When the money is finished, prostitute has no relation with her client. A bird has relationship with a tree when it's full of green leaves. But when all the leaves have gone, then the bird will never come back to that tree. The student has relationship with the teacher. But when the student graduates and receives his diploma, then he leaves the college and does not see that teacher again. A deer likes to eat the grass in the forest, but if there is a forest fire and everything is burnt, the deer will never go to that forest again. So, when there is love with a cause, when the cause is gone, then the love is gone. But if there is love without a cause, then this love can never be broken. So Braj Gopis told Uddhav, we loved Krishna without any cause. And Krishna also loved us without any cause, because love is not one-sided, it is two ways. So Uddhav, can you tell us, if we love each other without any cause, then how is it that this love has been broken? When Uddhav heard this question from Braj Gopis, he was scratching his head. He could not answer. So Srila Gurudev explained, in the same way, the disciple should serve the Guru Pada Padma without any cause. Oh, if there will be some cause, then one day the cause will be gone and the disciple will give up his guru. But the scriptures say, Yasya deve para bhakti yatha deve tatha garo tasyaiti katita yatha prakashante mahatmana. For one who has a spontaneous devotion to Krishna, but also has the same type of spontaneous devotion to his guru, only to that person is the real truth and mysteries of the Vedas revealed. First, we have to have the unconditional loving service to Gurudev. After that, then we can realize, how Braj Gopis love Sri Krishna. So here is the example of Srila Jiva Goswami Pad. His Gurudev rejected him and sent him away, apparently. But Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, in his heart, he never gave up the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami under any circumstances. And thereby he realized everything and received all the blessings and mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami. One night, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw how the Sakis of Radhika had tied Radha and Krishna's clothes together. And when he woke up in the morning, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad was very inspired. And with his own hands, he began to carve some deities of Radha and Krishna. Then he called his disciple Jiva Goswami and he gave these deities that he had made with his own hands to his disciple and said, "Oh, this is for you. This is Sri Radha Damodar." And he engaged Jiva Goswami in the service of Radha Damodar externally and internally. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad realized he was Vilas Manjari. So, when Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, Srila Sanatan Goswami Pad, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Pad, they became unmanifest from this world, they left all of their possessions. That means they had some books, library, some land that had been donated to them, and the temples like Madan Mohan Temple, Govinda Dev, everything they left to Srila Jiva Goswami. And Srila Jiva Goswami Pad became the head of the Vaishnava community. Or even Janava Thakurani, who is the Shakti of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, when she came to Brajamandal, she had the pastime of asking the philosophical questions from Jiva Goswami. And Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, he sent Narottam Srinivas and Shamananda with the books of the Goswamis out of Vrindavan to Bengal and Orissa, Manipur, and to spread their teachings everywhere. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad was very concerned that these teachings should be preserved and spread and passed on to future generations like us. And in those days, though it was not common, it was a very modern thing, Srila Jiva Goswami, he wrote a will in which he described exactly how all the temples and the land of the Goswamis should be managed, how the worship should go on and everything. He wrote in a will. And that is still existing, original. And in the same year that he wrote that will, he became unmanifest from this world on the Tritiya day of the light fortnight of the month of Paush. And in this way, he became unmanifest from this world. But he, before leaving, he did everything that he could to protect the nectar of the legacy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, I offer my Shraddha Pushpanjali, my heart like flowers, at the lotus feet of Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, and pray that he may sprinkle his mercy upon me, so that I may always engage in the service of Guru and Vaishnavas. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad ki Jai.